This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A penthouse for free. It's worth at least $2 million. I could choose one that's up to $5 million. Is someone in Los Angeles going to give me that type of an offer to come to town? Plus, Kawhi Leonard doesn't have to pay for food or drinks in many of the local establishments in Toronto. Kawhine and dine. I might say Kawhi not. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for joining us just a few hours to the weekend. I'm so excited to do nothing except for grill. There is a grill with steaks in my future. I don't care what Weight Watchers has to say about that. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. The Kawhi Leonard question will be answered eventually. And I'm sure there are some Torontonians who are dreading his free agency, others who might be confident. I'm sure he hasn't decided yet. I'm confident in saying whatever he thought about Toronto or about playing for the Raptors or about going the opposite direction from Los Angeles when the Spurs traded him, I'm sure a lot of that has changed because he's had a fantastic year. And now here he is potentially on the cusp of leading a franchise to its first ever NBA Finals. That's heady stuff. Whether or not they make it, that could very well affect his decision. If they wake it, they wake it. If they make it, they wake it, and they win the hardware, well, then that could be what keeps him in town and the penthouse. But they're not there yet. Obviously, the Bucks are in uncharted territory here. This is the first time all year they've dropped three games in a row. They know enough. They had enough to win 60 games this season. The difference is the pressure, the fact that your body and your mind, your bodies and your minds are worn out. They haven't played this deep into a season individually or collectively for the most part. Only one guy has. It's a lot. It's a lot to process. It's a lot to navigate. It's not that they don't have guys who are veterans who can help stabilize them. It's just that you could see a little bit of nerves, a little bit of anxiety, the pressure, the tightness. It's real stuff. We talk about it in every sport. I don't know if I'd go so far as to say deer in the headlights, which some of you have said, haha, that's a pun. I don't think it's like that. I think if they had faced more pressure this year, it might be different, which is a great point from Jim Paschke. They haven't been pushed. They haven't been pushed to the limit this season. They didn't have to fight and scratch and claw. And while Toronto didn't either, the difference is they've got guys who have in the past. And this is a franchise who the last 3 years has been ousted in unceremonious fashion. And so they've already tasted that bitter defeat over and over and over again. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, Kawhine and Dine, Kawhi not. It's a Facepalm Friday. Well, for some of us, it's a Friday. I feel like for those of you who are still awake on your Thursday, you might as well just call it a Friday because it sounds better. But we've got a couple of awesome, well, they're audio for you. There are videos to go along with. And so maybe we'll put those up on our social media. But Tom Hanks meeting Andrew Luck for the first time. Oh, my gosh. He's as nerdy as I would be. But that's Andrew Luck. Maybe he's cooler than I would be. I wouldn't be cool at all meeting my favorite all-time actor. So you can find us on Twitter or on Facebook. if you have your own submissions for Facepalm Friday. You know how much I love the gifts. And then our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We'll hear from Adam Gase. The eyes of Adam Gase are not blinking. You would lose a staring contest with the eyes of Adam Gase. And so we'll get to that coming up in 15 minutes. Yusuf is also in Toronto. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, I just want to say, you know, the intense excitement that we're feeling here in Toronto, man. The thing is, you know, as Torontonians, man, we've been through a lot with this sports franchise, man. As a Raptor fan, thing is, man, we have gotten, you know, a lot of slack from people like the Ramona Shelburnes and the Chris Broussard and the Stephen A. Smith.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, knock it off. That's not my network, and I don't care what they have to say. No, no, it doesn't. Just talk to me. Don't worry about what anybody else is saying.
Okay, but what I'm saying is now we're one win away from going to the NBA Finals. You know, we're basically going to have the best player in the NBA sign with us. The thing is, when are we going to get the respect, you know?
Did you say, what did you say, we're going to have the best what?
We're going to sign the best player in the NBA. You know, the best player in the NBA come July 1st. So, whether, you know, you guys want to, you know, the American League.
Okay, again, do not group me in with everyone else.
Okay, fine.
I'm my own person, number one.
Cool.
Number two, I don't think it's in the bag yet. Kawhi Leonard may not. I'm pretty confident he doesn't even know what he's doing yet, so I'm not sure how you would know. And here's how you get respect. You win, Yusuf. That's how you get respect. The Raptors have lost 3 years in a row and have looked terrible doing it. Last year, they were hideous. How many people thought, oh, this might be the year? Maybe you did last year. Number one seed, the Cavaliers weren't anywhere close. They were a disaster most of last season. And what happened? Not only did the Raptors lose, they folded. They looked terrible. It took a complete culture change. So it took bringing in a player like Kawhi Leonard, not just that, but trading, making a sacrifice and trading away a guy who would have been a Raptor for life in DeMar DeRozan. It took upsetting your point guard superstar, Kyle Lowry. It took trades and it took moves like that. So they had to rip it apart at the seams. So yeah, the respect comes when you have the win. And so if they win the conference, then they'll get that respect.
No, but the thing is, New York Knicks right now, you know, they haven't won since when? I mean, I can't remember the last time they have won a playoff series, and yet they get Christmas games. The thing with the Torontonians, the thing we are basically saying is, you know what, we basically are going to show everybody that as a city,
it's not about the city. People, I don't understand why people in Toronto do that. I'm sure not all of them, but some. It has nothing to do with the city. We're talking about the team. You asked me when do the Raptors get respect. If you're asking me when does the city of Toronto get respect, A, I don't even know how to answer that question, and B, the two are not the same. One of the reasons I can tell you that the Raptors don't get the respect is because they haven't won, because they've fallen flat on their face multiple times for all the world to see. So when they break through that glass ceiling and get to their first NBA Finals, if that's how they're going to do it, then yeah, it's a completely different level of respect. Thank you so much for your phone call, Yusuf. I mean, there have been a lot of people who have believed in the Raptors before this and then felt like they put their faith in a team that was only going to let them down. Last year was the worst. I thought it might be different, but last year was probably their worst exit of the three against the Cavaliers when they were a four seed. The Cavs were, I mean, they weren't an elite level basketball team last year. You can say whatever you want about the Cavs. It was LeBron, and the Raptors still couldn't knock them out of the playoffs. They were a four seed, for heaven's sakes. And so the Raptors just, they couldn't handle the pressure, and they mentally were not prepared to go up against LeBron and the Cavaliers again. And you saw what happened in the NBA Finals, because the Cavaliers were not a complete team. It was set up for the Raptors last year, and they still couldn't do it. So anybody who put their faith in the Raptors last season was royally disappointed and maybe thinks, probably won't do that again. Right? So when they win, then it becomes a different level of respect. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Let's see. Let's talk to Wayne, who's in New Mexico. Wayne.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. And speaking of respect, I think he's not getting enough respect yet. I mean, granted, he hasn't made it to the NBA Finals.
Who's he?
But he has. Sorry about Kawhi Leonard. I apologize.
No, no. Kawhi Leonard's a former NBA Finals MVP. he won a championship with San Antonio.
True, I agree, but I think they're not getting. He's not getting the respect to know that he's helped change that franchise around.
I disagree with you. Kawhi Leonard's one of the best players in the league. Last year, because of everything that happened with his injury and how he, you know, how he decided that he wouldn't be with the team and then asked out of San Antonio. I think, you know, that was a difficult stretch, but we're. I don't know anybody who doesn't believe Kawhi Leonard's one of the best players in the league. Anything else? All right. Tom is listening in Arizona. Tom, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, Amy.
Hi.
First of all, I was the guy who asked about the derivation of the boom.
I told Boomer Esiason about that yesterday morning, and he was he thought I was being serious, and he was like, no, it has something to do with me. I was like, I know, but...
Okay. No, I thought you were proclaiming your love for him
yes.
a few days ago.
My so love I was for him.
I was wondering whether that was the reason for it. But no. What's your connection with Indiana, if I may ask?
My connection with Indiana?
Yeah, because I thought you said that it was the Indiana announcers who used to say that.
No, they still do, I'm pretty sure. If you could do me a favor, and I don't know if we can or not, but the Pacers were in the playoffs, so maybe we can find one of those Mark Boyle calls of a three. I just liked it. It was fantastic.
Oh.
And
it
was on a night where the Pacers were doing something great in the postseason.
And the call
stuck with me.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Now, I guess I came in the middle of the Chubby Bunny tournament, so I have to admit I'm not sure whether you competitors were spitting out the marshmallows or vomiting them up. Because I'm thinking if you were just spitting them up, you could have washed them maybe and stuck them back in your throat. Stuck them back in your mouth.
I mean, if you would like to do that, sir, marshmallows actually disintegrate. They start to get all gooey. So I don't know that they don't stay solid. That would actually be gross. They are not. It becomes a liquid at some point.
I think they used to say on those commercials, a marshmallow is a terrible thing to waste. You know, that would be my thinking.
Well, they turn to fluff, so it's kind of hard. Once you upchuck them, which we did not, I didn't vomit. I was gagging, so I had to get rid of them. And there will be a video, so you can see for yourself. Both Chris and Brian eventually couldn't keep the marshmallows in their mouths, so only Dave was able to eat the marshmallows and not throw them up or chuck them up.
I think I'll have to check that out then,
and
see how appetizing they looked afterward.
Ew.
But now with regard to so many people saying the Sopranos had the worst ending, I think maybe what happened was that the director went over budget one too many times and they pulled the plug on him. What do you think?
I didn't watch Sopranos. Even though my family is Italian, that's not a show that I got into. However, I do know that a lot of people felt like they were let down by the series finale, which is a bummer because you've spent all that time investing in a show, and then if you don't get a satisfying ending, you kind of feel like you're you don't have the closure. It's like a relationship. You just want closure at the end. Tom, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it.
Amy, thank you. Nice talking with you.
Oh, yes, you too. So, Boomer Esiason, who I do love dearly, thought I was being a little weird when I asked him or when I told him that I got a question about whether or not the boom at the end of my show was because of him. And he looked at me for a second and he said, no. I was like, I know it's not. It was a joke, Boom. Anyway, yes, I do love him dearly, but no, I would not. I would not yell boom at the end of my show simply as my ode to Boomer Esiason.
Hashtag Facepalm Friday.
Though he is very good to me. All right, we'll take more of your calls. 855-212-4227. It's our toll-free line. It's brought to you by Geico with some awesome news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. We've got the eyes of Adam Gase boring a hole into the head of media members who dare to ask him about Mike Maccagnan. And again, more of your basketball talk. Also, if you've got a Facepalm Friday moment you'd like to share with us, that would be fantastic. I have some from the week, but I'm saving them. I'm sprinkling them in. And then Tom Hanks and Andrew Luck is awesome, too. That's producer Chris. He found that. I didn't even know, even though Tom Hanks is my favorite actor. Thanks so much for listening, for putting up with us, me. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Hungry for a taste of the most delicious audio of the night? You came to the right place. It's time for Bite Me with Amy Lawrence. Here's Amy Lawrence.
Adam Gase has remained mum since the firing of general manager Mike Maccagnan in New York. I remember we heard from Christopher Johnson, who's the owner and CEO of the Jets, when he made that change. And we kind of heard some reasons why. He had done a deep dive on their relationship. He'd been spending more time trying to figure out the dynamic between Adam Gase and Maccagnan and whether or not they were on the same page. And ultimately, he said he didn't want to wait. He wanted to make the change now so they could do a full search before the season started and find the right fit now that they've got a new head coach in Gase. And for the time being, Gase is interim GM, but he's also helping to find his replacement, quote unquote, his replacement after what, a month of being interim GM. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We finally got to hear from the Jets coach because OTAs are going on, and boy, despite how he was pushed, he did not in any way crack about any type of a bad relationship or a fractured relationship or even a relationship that could damage the franchise between he and Maccagnan.
I said in a press conference that what was reported was false. Me and Mike had disagreements on a few things, but there was no personal rift. That's wrong.
There was no personal rift. That's wrong. We had disagreements about moves to make for the franchise, and one of those, of course, was reportedly that Gase thought Maccagnan was spending too much money to bring Le'Veon Bell into the fold. So we'll get to Le'Veon Bell coming up because obviously Bell heard that report as well. Gase was pushed and pushed over and over again about whether or not Johnson, the owner of the Jets, came to him to ask him his opinion or to tell him about it ahead of time. So here's what I'm thinking, blah, blah, blah. Gase says, absolutely not.
I wasn't asked.
You were not asked for your input on how you felt?
He told me, he called me and told me what we were doing. That's what happened.
Right, so you were looking at the quarterback. He did not ask you for your opinion about the general manager?
He called me and told me what he was doing.
I like it already. Let every week be like this between Adam Gase and the media, because those eyes, you'll never win a staring contest with the eyes of Adam Gase. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So then the questions morph into, well, you're the interim GM, and of course Adam Gase has already made a couple of moves in that role. What happens when a new guy comes into town?
Whoever the GM is, they'll have final say on the roster. So if there's ever a disagreement, our job is to hash it out. But at the end of the day, that guy or that person will have the call. They have the call. They have the final say.
I mean, he says that now. No, I'm kidding. I'm not stirring up trouble. I just love it. I love the pushback. I love the fact that he is the alpha male that Christopher Johnson wanted. I mean, Johnson wanted a guy who would not be wishy-washy, who could provide a tone and a tenor for the team, who could be a leader, who could have a little fight, a little edge to him, and really get that locker room pointed in a different direction. And certainly seems like Gase is fully prepared to handle whatever you throw at him, media members. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. But what about Le'Veon Bell? Gase says, absolutely ridiculous that you would think we're trading Le'Veon Bell. For heaven's sakes, he just got there. Oh, my gosh. But anyway, the idea that Gase didn't think he was worth the money that Maccagnan gave him, does that mean that Bell may be on his way out of town now that Gase is calling the shots, however briefly, this tenure?
He texts me all the time. All that stuff you get on Instagram, I get it first. So that's how I know what he's doing. So he's been great with me as far as contact goes, making sure that I know what he's doing, where he's working out at, where he is, whatever part of the United States he's working out in. I mean, he does a lot of different things as far as who he's working with.
Doesn't he rap as well? Didn't he come out with an album, or was that a different? That was Le'Veon Bell. He wanted to wait to sign until he had finished his rap album, I think. So Gay says, I'm in touch with what Le'Veon Bell is doing. And even though you think that all this stuff on social media might come as a shock to me, I hear about it from Bell himself beforehand and says there's no way that we're going to trade him. He's actually said that when the media brought it up was the first time he'd heard about the possibility of Le'Veon Bell being traded. And then Bell himself took to Twitter to confirm what Gay said. So this was from Eric Allen, who tweeted, he was tweeting about Adam Gase talking about Le'Veon Bell. Oh my gosh, that makes my head hurt. Yeah, so Eric Allen is tweeting about Adam Gase's comments on Le'Veon Bell. Quote, I'm excited we have him. I have been in constant communication with him. He is a great player, a good person. I've enjoyed my interaction with him. Again, that's Gase commenting on Le'Veon Bell. And Bell then retweets this or requotes. No, he retweets it with a quote. He quotes it. I don't know. Thank you, Chris. I don't care what the proper terminology is. If Bill Belichick can say snap face, then I can get it wrong about quoting tweets. Bell says, yup. And I think that's a fist. I think that's a fist emoji. Sometimes it's hard to tell, but I think it's a fist emoji. Yup. Let's get it, coach. And then an airplane emoji, like he's flying away. So right now it appears as though Gase and Bell are on a united front. Winning cures all of this. That's the part that you need to remember. It doesn't matter about the drama in the front office or who they hire as their general manager. If they go out there and they add a bunch more wins and they're competitive and they're relevant. Let's say they have a season like the Cleveland Browns did last year. Well, then it won't matter. All of this stuff won't matter. I mean, if Le'Veon Bell doesn't have any kind of success this season, I don't know if that's going to happen. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I don't even expect it to happen. But if it does happen, then of course this will come up again. Oh, Gase thought we overpaid for you, la, 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 la. But for now, it's OTAs. And so all this kind of stuff is front and center. Win a staring contest with the eyes of Adam Gase. Ever. Once we get to games, oh my gosh, there are going to be so many cameras on Adam Gase on the sidelines. Once we get to games and if the Jets are winning, maybe they're even pushing the New England Patriots atop the AFC East. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but maybe they are. Well, then the rest of this, it becomes just background noise. Wah, 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 wah. All right. So, coming up next, it's a great Facepalm Friday submission. Not that Tom from Arizona wasn't also a great Facepalm Friday material, but Tom Hanks and Andrew Luck meeting for the first time, and Andrew Luck's reaction is awesome. I need to be able to guffaw like him. I kind of think I do cackle, though. But Luck has got this fantastic laugh. It's right up there with Kawhi Leonard, though we don't get to hear that very often. Thanks so much for joining us as we hurtle our way toward a Friday.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Well, this isn't where I was going to start until I saw a tweet from some guy who wanted to set me straight about my Twitter lingo, and he decided to tell me that Bill, which I'm pretty sure he meant Bell, was cyst pumping his coach, not fist pumping his coach, but cyst pumping his coach. Oh, and also there's about five other either autocorrects or just flat out spelling errors in his tweet. If you're going to set me straight, maybe reread your tweet before you send it. I'm pretty sure Bill wasn't cyst pumping. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's the first thing that I look for on social media. If you're going to criticize me, you better spell it right, because otherwise it goes in one eyeball and out the other. And usually I laugh in your face. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4227. We'll get back to your phone calls on that toll-free line. But this is awesome. Thank you to producer Chris for finding this. He knew we were going to do a Facepalm Friday, and I don't think he knew that Tom Hanks is my favorite actor, but the two things come together so beautifully. I feel confident that if I ever met Tom Hanks, I would probably laugh like a hyena, because that's what I do when I get really nervous. Well, his first ever meeting with Colts quarterback Andrew Luck is awesome.
You like living here?
It's awesome. Oh,
it's fantastic. I love watching you play.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I really, really enjoy it.
Yep, so where do you I appreciate it.
How often have you suffered because of your last name?
Let's get you. Sorry.
I'm guessing for the moment you said what, Pop Warner football?
It goes both ways.
Yeah, yeah.
It does. Here's a pen. But it's good.
All right.
Basically, in sports, you get made fun of for everything. It doesn't matter what it is. You build skin
that.
Like an armadillo, as an
you
old could, coach used to say.
Will you study like the social media after the game?
No. I stay off of social media.
That is...
I'm just a little too old for social media, I feel.
The secret of getting behind this world is to ignore anything they say about you.
It's gospel. Right. Now we'll do a handshake. Are you into the hand? No.
What is that?
A handshake picture like coach's camp?
Yeah. The capture will be Andrew and Tom simulate shaking hands and meeting for the first time.
It's so nerdy. I love it so much.
Hashtag Facepalm Friday.
Please, 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 can we hear that second Andrew Luck laugh again? In fact, I'm thinking that we could have a contest when it comes to the Kawhi laugh and the Andrew Luck guffaw. Oh my gosh, which one? I mean, they're both fairly cringeworthy. I think for some, for me, they just make me howl with laughter. He said, skinned like an armadillo. That's what happens when you're in sports. He said, skinned like an armadillo to Tom Hanks.
The secret of getting money is to ignore.
Now, generally, I laugh when I hear other people laughing, but come on, that is so juicy. Oh, so good.
The secret of getting money in this world is to ignore.
Why am I the only one laughing? Why are you two not laughing at that? I'm laughing so hard I'm crying, and you don't find that completely nerdy and just so awesomely awkward? He's like...
It's funny. It's really funny. I'm trying to figure out what it sounds like. It reminds me of something, and I'm trying to figure it out. It's very funny, though. It's
so Andrew Luck. I wonder what Captain Andrew Luck would have to say. That I'm convinced is his Twitter burner account. What Captain Andrew Luck would have to say about meeting Tom Hanks. But the laugh is delicious. So you put that next to Kawhi Leonard, we could loop that for an entire hour. Well, okay, we would get tired of it at some point, but it's so good. Oh my gosh. I would be laughing like a nervous ninny, because that's what I do when I meet people that I'm that I admire or that are my faves.
The secret of getting
on this world
is to ignore.
This is what it sounds like.
The secret of getting on this world is to ignore.
And Tom Hanks just keeps talking, skinned like an armadillo. Also, right in the middle of that, you hear a little boy who says, "Can you sign my hat?" But I don't know which one he's talking to, Luck or Hanks. And Luck says, here's a pen. So I'm wondering if maybe he was talking to Tom Hanks. I mean, I don't know. If you could only get one autograph, it was either Tom Hanks or Andrew Luck, whose would you get? I'm not really into autographs, but... whose would you take? If you only had one shot at it and you were a little kid, maybe you don't even know who Tom Hanks is, actually.
I mean, despite being a huge sports fan, I would have to go with Tom Hanks. He's just awesome.
But what about your kids, though? Like, if it's a little kid, does a little kid know who Tom Hanks is?
Maybe only from, like, the Polar Express or something like that.
But he wasn't actually in... his voice was in it. He did all the characters, but you never saw Tom Hanks, though.
That's very true. Yeah, maybe. I don't think they've seen Big or anything like that, right, little kids? I don't know. That's a tough call.
So I've shown my kids Big, and then I always tell them, hey, you know that actor and then that voice from that movie? Like, that's the same guy, or that's the same person.
Do you know they're coming out with a Toy Story 4, by the way?
Yeah, it's amazing.
I never saw 3. I guess I'm going to have to go back and watch them. I loved 1
and 2,
of course.
It's interesting because they're like 17 years apart or something, but it was good.
Really cool.
I cried.
You cried over Toy Story 3?
Yep.
Oh, well, now I really have to go back and watch it. Fios is offering me a free movie this weekend, so maybe that's what I'll find. Craig says on Twitter, was that Andrew Luck or Goofy? Can we find Goofy's laugh? Let's compare them. And then Michael says the same thing. Andrew Luck sounds like Goofy from Disney. Let's do it. Let's do a laugh comparison. I'm going to go ahead and take...
See, that's what I was thinking of, but I just couldn't come up with it.
Okay, good. Yeah. So when you get it, let me know. We'll do a quick call here. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Drew is in North Carolina. Hi, Drew.
Hey, Amy. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you.
Hey, so... Well, originally I had called, I was going to come in on the Raptors, but since then you've kind of talked about a couple other things.
Yes.
So I guess the quickest one is, I don't know if Andrew Luck was really being particularly out of the ordinary nerdy. I feel like that's probably just regular Andrew Luck.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. But that's the part that I love. He's so authentic. Like, he just is who he is. He has a funny sense of humor, but he's kind of just a good old country boy. I don't know where he's from. I don't think he's from the country, actually. I don't remember right this second. But that is, that is just so typical Luck. He's just kind of genuine like that. And he's totally nerdy.
No, yeah, right. And then Gase, this Adam Gase guy. I mean, one thing about, like, where did this, I know in the beginning he came up with Cutler and the Broncos. That's the first place I remember Adam Gase. Where he was before then, I'm not sure. Okay, so we have this Cutler breakout season or flash in the pan of great Cutler play in Denver, and suddenly Adam Gase is this great coach because he brought out all this talent from Jay Cutler. then they go to Chicago after that, right? They both went to Chicago, right?
Well, Cutler preceded him to Chicago. He went to Chicago with John Fox when Fox got fired in Denver.
In Carolina.
Right.
Okay.
In Denver. No. Right. In Denver. So Gase's first job ever was in Denver. He was the offensive coordinator for 2 years there in 13 and 14. Okay. When Fox got fired, they ended up in Chicago, and he went as the offensive coordinator with Fox and the Bears. And that was when he was with Cutler. Cutler was gone by 2013. So Gase didn't work with Cutler until they got to Chicago. And so Gase actually had a great impact on Jay Cutler. He played really well that year. And so that was kind of how he parlayed that into the head coaching job in Miami, which, of course, resulted in Jay Cutler getting a job last year when he was already headed for the broadcast booth. So yeah, he had a pretty meteoric rise. This is a guy who, as an offensive coordinator for 3 years, then turned that into a head coach. He was also a quarterback's coach for a while with the Broncos. I'm trying to think, when did Jay Cutler leave? Remember, he was on the staff, but I don't know that he was working with Cutler. Remember, it was Josh McDaniels who traded Jay Cutler. And so I'd have to go back and look at that date. So he was with the Broncos for quite a while. But in terms of being in charge of an offense, that didn't happen until 13.
Yeah, well, Adam Gase is the all-time champion of upward failure.
I don't know. His story's not done yet. If he makes a major impact on the New York Jets, then you might have to change your tune.
I mean, but isn't it amazing? He now has the head coach and GM position of a New York City football team.
Yeah, but one that's fallen on hard times, number one. Number two, he's not going to stay the GM past the, you know, past training camp. They're not asking him to do that. They're just, for now, they need somebody in that role. Actually, you know who may remember Gase is Lions fans, but I don't know. I mean, he wasn't very high up on the food chain in Detroit. And so, yeah, he was with the Broncos going back to 09. I have to find out was that when Josh McDaniels was the head coach? Josh McDaniels, who ruined the Denver Broncos? Oh, my gosh. I'm not a fan of his head coaching tenure in Denver. Drew, we'll figure that out, and then we'll pass that along. Thank you so much for your phone call, unless you had something else.
Well, yeah, no, the original reason I did call was I was going to comment on the Raptors and this whole concept of their respect or lack thereof. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a fan of any more and more over the years, I've become a fan of just players through playing fantasy sports. And I've never really had an NBA team, per se. Like, in the 90s, I was a weirdo. I just rooted against Jordan. So I was, like, a Knicks fan for a while. Then I was a Pacers fan for a while, you know. And so, like, I never really have had an NBA team. I live in Charlotte, so, like, you know, I did like the original Hornets and then the Bobcats, and, you know, I sort of have an anti-Jordan thing, so I struggle with rooting for our home team because, yeah, that goes back to NC State versus Carolina roots, and I won't go into all that.
No, you don't have that kind of time. You have like 10 seconds.
Okay. Yeah, no, I think it's about the players they've added. Kawhi. Siakam. Kawhi, his game is a combination of Larry Bird and Scottie Pippen. I don't think that guy, I mean, he has my respect. Siakam, adding him and Siakam, I think they have my respect.
All right. Good. I'm glad to hear it, Drew. Sorry to cut you off. We're at the top of the hour. Thanks so much for your phone call from North Carolina. He landed the plane pretty quickly. I was impressed by that. I feel like a lot of people equate predictions with respect. Who gives a crap what some analyst thinks might happen in a series? This is why I don't make predictions. They're just guesses. And most of the time, they're not even educated. Charles Barkley didn't think the Warriors were going to get to the NBA Finals, for heaven's sakes. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.